Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
And welcome to another Dr. Drew After Dark podcast and video YouTube, don't forget. We appreciate the calls at 818-253-1693. Keep those voice messages coming, and I'll keep trying to address them. And also the emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. You guys make the show, and we appreciate it. Also, keep wins in the sale of this pirate ship by supporting the people that support us. We appreciate it. Welcome to the show today, Andrew Santino. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to ask you to repeat what you just said to me before the mics heated up.
I said that I really am into fucked up shit. I like reading it, watching it, looking at it, enjoying it, indulging in it. Give me the most fucked up shit that you can find. The internet is the internet is such a beautiful place
why
for fucked up shit.
Why are you not on YMH every day? I mean, that's...
Well,
I
mean, when I am on there, they get...
It's on.
Yeah, it's on.
It's on.
It's
okay.
on.
So we'll try to do our best today to bring it today.
Please.
You should know I'm geeking out a little bit. I'm a huge fan of I'm Dying Up Here. Huge,
oh, thank
huge
you,
fan.
Man.
And I thought you did a great job with it. But the entire cast just did an amazing job.
Well, not everybody. There was a few people that could have been better.
Right, to be
yeah,
fair.
There was definitely some people that could have been better.
Yeah, I mean,
specifically, Eric Griffin was really dog shit.
Eric was awful, but I got to know him. He and I did the Stern After Show once together.
Yeah.
I think it was Eric. Eric's the kind of bigger guy and... Right?
Yeah.
Is he black?
We don't even know. Nobody could really put their finger on it.
Okay, but he's a black character in this.
He plays a black person. Yeah. He plays a black. There he is right there. He plays a black guy.
Yeah, that's Eric.
No, he is. Eric is...
That was one of the nicest guys I ever met, so I don't want to badmouth him.
Sweet guy. I can.
Yeah, you can. But I just thought it was a great show and so well done. And just
Thank you.
Is it going to come again?
Or? No. They put it to bed. I think Showtime had to move forward. And
so good.
I liked it.
That was appointment viewing for my wife and I. Even though we could record it, so we made sure to watch it. So we look forward
to it. Do you do
that
with other stuff, appointment viewing still?
Occasionally. We'll get hooked, you know, Game of Thrones or something. We'll get hooked on something, and then we'll appointment view it for a while. Sunday night was appointment viewing for a while.
Yeah.
So that must
that
have
is
been
the night.
Like, that was Game of Thrones. And Killing Eve.
Oh, that's a good
Killing
show.
Killing Eve, yes.
That is a very good show.
Yes, we dug that. But Dying Up Here was... I've recommended it a million times. And I was sort of familiar with that history a little bit, so I felt like it really brought that to life kind of nicely. So.
Yeah, no, I think we did as good of a job as the writers could, and then we did our best, and it was...
And you in the relationship, now I'm going to forget the guy's name, the drug addict.
Jake, but on the show, his name is Nick.
Nick.
Yeah.
That relationship was... Great.
Yeah.
Really well done.
It's one of them because we became good friends in real life. This guy, Jake Lacey, he's a great actor.
He's a great drug addict.
He is, right? He's extreme. Well, he's sober.
Oh, is he a sober guy?
He's a sober guy.
Well, I was going to say that he plays a drug addict so well, I had concerns.
Yeah.
He was sober, but for
the show, he was doing heroin again.
Okay. Well, for his craft.
For character. Character development. No, but him and I became so close, and so the relationship developed so much off camera. You know how they, you know, it's like people fall in love off camera all the time, you know, and we became so close as friends. It was just,
well, it came through, came through as that. And it was a complicated relationship with all kinds of betrayals and the usual drug addict stuff.
Yeah. Hated and loved each other, but we've all dealt. I think, I told Sickler about this. My dad was a drug addict. So I feel like I understand those relationships with people of how to like temper your expectations and your attitudes in your life when you deal with someone that does drugs.
Let me tell you something that's be interesting because I saw something in how you played that character that I bet is something to do with how you dealt with your dad, which is you detached with anger as opposed to love.
Correct.
You got pissed and like, fuck it.
Yes.
And
sounds really close to home.
Yeah. And when you have a parent who's a drug addict, it's hard not to do that.
Yeah.
But it ends up hurting you more than it hurts them. Usually.
For sure.
Did you ever do Al-Anon or therapy or anything?
You know, I tried once, if I'm being very honest.
Yeah.
I could lie to you and say like, oh dude, I've done it all. No, but I've tried very minimalistically to like, go through
it's
that.
It's just
I should.
It's that getting to a place of forgiveness will help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't help him. And is he sober now?
He's for years and years.
Do you have a relationship now or no?
Yeah. It's pretty vague.
Right. Because you're still pissed.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. And so.
What if I just start crying in the middle of the show?
Oh, we'll see.
And then we talk about butt plugs and all sorts of stuff.
Starting to understand why you like fucked up shit.
Yeah.
But it's fine to be angry. And I'm sure he's fine with it too, because he knows that's part of what he created.
Yeah.
He should be. I mean, if he's really sober.
Well, I think it's more, I don't know if it's anger as much as it is, It's just, you just, at some point you got, I just have moved. I just, I'm like, I'm just doing my thing.
Well, let me put another motion that I think I'm reading. Is disgust. You get disgusted with it.
I get like, is that it?
It's kind of like you.
Read this emotion when I do this. Ready? When I go.
Disdain.
Yeah. Disdain. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Just had enough.
I can do it better than I can articulate it.
And by the way, that's one okay place for people to get to. The hard part is if you're always trying to fix them and all that stuff.
Right.
If it gets you to a point of just like capitulation, disdain, it's not great for you, but it's better than, you know, trying to fix
it. Better than the alternative, right?
Better than the alternative. The best place is sort of forgiveness and understanding, that kind of stuff, but not everyone has
that. That shit is so hard though.
It is hard.
Do you forgive everyone that's done fucked up shit to you?
I think I've, not everybody, but I've probably gotten around to some big ones. And it's not fully, when I was on Sicklers, I talked about my relationship with my mom, which was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
And I learned to forgive, though not fully.
Yeah.
Not fully.
I'll give you a family story. You want to talk about fucked up? Let me give you a quick small story.
Because at a minimum, you just go, why the fuck would you do that to a kid?
Yeah, why would you?
What the fuck's the matter with you?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I won't tell. I can't get into specifics. I don't want to divulge this just for people's personal.
Sure, yeah.
But there was a story in my world of family people that a family member was molesting children. And it was kind of like somewhat known.
Ugh.
It was also many generations ago. It was known, but it was kind of ignored, or it was like pushed under the rug and all, whatever, you know,
as was the custom back then.
Yeah. You just say, Hey, you know, you didn't get touched. You know what I mean? Shush, you know, go play. But I need ice. Yeah. All right. You know, there was molestation. And then, when he died, one of the family members walked up to his open casket and spit in his face.
Oof.
In front of the entire family. So, sent a message.
Your family's cool.
Sent a message.
Where was this?
What do you mean?
I mean, where'd you grow up?
This is my extended family.
Distant family. Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago, but this wasn't in Chicago. This was in the South. And where you guys sometimes spit on someone's face, man. I mean, it was, when I heard that story, I was like, holy shit, that's... But I guess you deserve it.
Are you Scottish descent?
Irish.
Irish
and Italian. My father's Sicilian. This is funny. I went to Sicily and I was trying to find the hometown of my father. And for years I thought it was Cacciamo. How nice. Cacciamo in Sicily, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. And I asked the Sicilian, I said, hey man, I'm trying to find Cacciamo. And he goes, Cacciamo, show me. I show him on the map and he goes, ah, Cacciamo. Perfect. Yeah. Cacciamo.
I discovered recently something I did not know, that the Italian we think of as Italian is not spoken throughout Italy.
Right.
It's all this regional stuff, and especially in Sicily it's almost a separate language.
Oh, yeah. And they make fun of you more in Sicily.
Huh.
Sicilians shit on Americans way more than regular Italians.
Oh, that's
I don't
good.
Know why, but like everywhere we went... We went to this place where we were so polite, and I got out my Google Translate. Have you ever seen that when you can literally like put it over a document, it'll change the words for you?
Yes.
So I'm doing that, and you know, we're trying our best to be nice and polite, and the whole time they're just shitting on us.
Like in Italian?
Yeah,
or?
Just pointing and laughing and mocking me with my phone.
Oh.
I'm like, I just want some fucking fish.
Well, and on the Italian side is where the addiction came in, which is sort of surprising, right? The Irish virus is alcoholism.
That's
and addiction.
Right.
Did that come through also?
Well, I love drinking, but
But on that side of the family, was there much going on?
Isn't that crazy?
Interesting.
Good. No, it's very well balanced.
Huh.
Over there, like the Irish side of my family that does drink, like they're extremely social drinkers. They love parties.
But they're not alcoholics.
No, we don't have anybody that has like a major issue.
That's good.
Truthfully, which is kind of odd.
It's a genetic thing, and it's very common amongst Irish and Scottish, but it's not universal.
You know, why is it, I wonder?
Why is it so common? Yeah. I have a theory. So here's my theory. You guys are going to love this. Nadav, hold tight. You like to learn stuff on my shows. where do you find the genetics, which is probably a series of different genes, but when you find the genetics for alcoholism, most present, like the burden, like when people drink, they get severe alcoholism.
Right.
You tend to find that, well, those people tend to be, people with that genetic makeup tend to be great survivors. Amazing. Like they make great shortstops and extreme athletes and astronauts. And they just make these, you know, they're really uncomfortable in their own skin, except when they're in battle. then they get no anxiety and they can conduct themselves. They get cool.
Right.
It, time slows down for them. And so when I was, when I would lecture groups of addicts, I used to mess around with them. I go, what would happen if, you know, a bunch of Huns came over the hill here and just start attacking? They all say the same thing. I'd grab a chair. I'd go run at them.
Yeah.
I'd go attack.
Right.
And evidently in some sort of battle, particularly where they're like swords and shields and arrows, when you go at people, apparently you're more likely to survive than somebody like me who would just turn and run and get a spear or an arrow in the back, right? So, because they have their wits about them and they're fighting.
Right.
That's, and so they are literally a more evolved form of the human. They survive in adversity better than the average person. So where do you, where do genetics emerge for that kind of thing? The most, where they most, well, first you want to take an isolated population.
Sure.
Right, there's not a lot of admixture. That's where you see the genetics sort of emerge. And take that population, isolate them, and have genocidal assaults for like multiple generations.
Yeah.
Irish,
Scottish, yeah.
North American Indians. The survivors, all alcoholics.
Wow.
Because those are the better survivors.
So what I can kind of deduce from this is that to be a good fighter, you have to be a drunk. Dr. Drew said it here.
Not using.
Right.
The using came generations later.
That just has to be a part of your biology.
Your biology, you're just that better survivor where you get off on extreme situations.
Yeah.
But what comes with that is that potential for alcoholism.
See, that's funny because I'm able to combat things. I show some of those characteristics of complete fearlessness during the most...
See?
What would be the most uncomfortable situation?
So interesting. Now, maybe you got another version of it where you got some of that, but not the alcohol part, right?
Right.
Which is fascinating to me because that means the genes can kind of uncouple. I always thought they went together.
No, I mean, well, and to be fair, like I do love drinking, but I just know that I've just learned how to not
lose control.
Yeah. Like I guess as you get older, you also learn. But like I'm a tough guy when it comes to things where it's like, I'll just take things head on. But then also when I'm like... You know, then some things scare me that I'm like heights. If I get too close to an edge, like my nuts go up into my body.
Might hit somewhere in my
I swear to God.
Thyroid.
Yeah, they bury themselves into my rib cage. My testicles disappear. I heights fuck me up so much.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
But other things I do have like much confidence in that I'm like, oh, if I'm in a tested situation, that's probably when I'm going to perform my best.
I mean, did you play sports as a kid?
Yeah.
What position?
I was the hot pocket. I was shortstop and third base. So
they're always in there.
But that's also because like my dad was like, take a ball to the chest,
well,
man up.
Yeah, but you time things have to slow down for a shortstop.
Yes,
you have to see everything happening, and you got to see it in sequence. And I did not have that. It was all just happening to me, and I could never assess it. Or
you were in right field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
And. You know, defensive line and stuff. I couldn't do anything. We're a ball handling position.
Right. I was always in a position where I had to be an attacker and also a quick decision. Safety. I played safety. So that was in football. So that was like,
I just had to learn
how to map and plan and kill.
That's that ability. And don't you have a sense that in those extreme moments, those you were kind of high and time would kind of slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. I had it described to me by my patients a million times. I got none of that.
When you played sports, could you hear what people are yelling in the crowd?
Yeah, I was good. I was good instinctively. Like I knew what the defense was going to do. I just knew it. Or I knew what the offense was. I knew what the play was going to be. I just knew it beforehand.
But could you hear fan? Like if somebody
I
yelled
sometimes
something.
Sometimes hear stuff like that, but not a lot.
So I would black out. And I genuinely, I could hear nothing when I played sports. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Oh, no, I could hear the fan. I could hear.
And later I would talk to other people about it. And I think they say some of like, the most in tune people hear absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and because I was always like, that's really weird because, you know, maybe my dad or someone would say like, you didn't hear us, you were yelling for you. I'm like, no, I didn't. I genuinely couldn't. It's like a tunnel vision thing.
That's great. That's a great asset, right?
It was,
And so it carries this thing with it, maybe alcoholism or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with that, that's all.
Maybe I have light alcoholism. Is there diet alcoholism?
There's, huh?
Is there light alcohol?
Diet
alcoholism? Yeah.
Alcoholism light?
You know, is it like sugar-free
like
alcoholism?
Coke light, yes.
Yeah.
And there's differing genetic burdens.
Ah.
Yeah, and so you have a light burden.
Yeah, maybe a light burden.
Yeah.
I like the sauce. I'm not going to lie to you, Drew. I can't lie to you.
You keep saying you're not going to lie to me. It makes me feel like you're going to lie.
I'm going to lie to you.
So I'm going to lie
to you incessantly.
So what? Where did the comedy come in? How did that happen to you?
So the Irish side, my grandfather was the funniest person I ever knew in my entire life. Who was my hero? He's passed away, unfortunately, but he was so funny that it was like almost unreal. He could make our whole family laugh. You know, like everybody would shit their pants. And he wasn't doing it to show off. It was just his personality. He was extremely quick. And he was pretty brash too. You know, like he would just say stuff and he just didn't mean it, but he could get away with it. You know, like if a heavyset person would walk by, you know, he would say it like almost loud enough that they might be able to hear. And he'd be like, I bet you he knows where a good meal is, you know? And it was just, that was his cadence of life.
Yeah.
And so he joked about everything. Also because I think they came from nothing. Very, very poor people.
Was this potato famine type immigration?
Sure. Yeah. Didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And my grandmother's side, both Irish.
Yeah.
Just, I think when you come from nothing, I think you learn to build some semblance of, that's why Irish people tend to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, tragedy. When people have a lot of tragedy, probably a lot of people died around them.
They knew everyone they knew was broke and poor. They had 10 kids. My mom's one of 10.
Whew.
Yeah. And
how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Oh, only one. Yeah. They learned their lesson. They didn't want to go through that again.
Right.
I mean, my mother literally used to joke like if food eating time was not like sit down and get plates. It was like food is out. And if you don't get it, you don't get it.
Yeah.
That was just like the way it goes.
Yeah.
So me and my mother have the same, that wasn't the case for me as a kid, but I eat so fast, it's absurd. Mm. People I eat dinner with are like, dude, what the fuck? Are you leaving soon?
You got that from your mom?
Because she eats so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
So eating with her as growing up, I just got so used to eating fast.
Interesting.
But she did because that was like a survival technique.
And when families have 10, 12 kids, it's because most of them died in childhood anyway. They would just have a bunch of them and this couple would get through.
Oh, I'm sure there was four or five that didn't make the cut. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm sure my grandmother had 30 kids if she could.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And your dad?
He's one of five.
And was that also poor and trauma and all that stuff?
Totally. Oh my God.
Did they transmit some of that stuff to you other than the eating fast?
Like no.
Tomorrow's the end of the world.
And nope.
Famine coming and
not really.
How weird.
I never felt any of the negativity.
Huh.
My mom was always a struggle. My parents separated when I was young because my dad found drugs.
What drugs?
Cocaine, I think, was his big one. I think it was his big one.
Where were you guys? Chicago?
Chicago, yeah.
What part?
In the city, in the near north side.
Nice.
So I grew up near an area called Old Town, Chicago. And then when my mom remarried, we moved to the western suburbs of Chicago. But
Old Town's cool now.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always very cool. It's always like one of those hip places. That's where Zanies.
Yeah.
Zanies is on Wells. Yeah. So is UCB.
Second
City.
Second City's there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My brain. My mom said that one time. She was like, you took all the great qualities of your father and none of the bad ones. Because my dad is unbelievably charismatic. And just like he loved people, he's good with people. Mm. And I love that about him and those kind of things. But I don't think any of the, like any of that, like the world is going to end impending doom things ever transferred to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And then comedy again was your grandfather and?
My grandfather was just such a jokester and everything was so funny and loose with him. And life was like that for us. Like my whole family has a great sense of humor, very satirical. Like,
were you using humor to manage unpleasantness?
No, I just enjoyed it so goddamn much. I thought making people laugh, like once you learn that you can make people laugh as a youth, and it's like a superpower. I'm invisible. Do you know what I mean? I can do anything I want to do. So it's how I coped with not being able to pay attention in school, how I cope with, at one point, bullying, you know? Like I wasn't bullied a lot because I learned how to fight pretty fast. So I would often use my fists and not my words.
Mm.
That was not a good thing. Mm. I mean, I got kicked out of a fucking preschool. How do you get kicked out of preschool?
Good job.
Yeah, for fighting.
Impressive.
Yeah, pretty embarrassing. And
embarrassing.
But then I started to use humor to get out of all these situations. I mean, out of violence, out of being scared, out of, you know, feeling uncomfortable, I would just make fun of it and it just made me feel so much better.
Well, I like the idea that you're the first person I've talked to that explicitly said humor is power.
Oh my God, it felt so powerful to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I think that most people use it that way.
Oh yeah.
And some people use it like a weapon, right? They sort of beat you with it, not in a violent way, but as a way of sort of submitting you, like
right.
You get submitted.
Right.
Almost like a wrestling battle or something. And then other people use it. You said to be invisible, which is that's a superpower.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You're seen, but yeah, you're not at all. You're like kind of larger than life. When you're being the funniest person around, it's like you've got this, you're able to do whatever you want. You're able to kind of move seamlessly through anything.
And did you ever do anything manipulative or bad because of that?
No, I mean, I've done a lot of dumb shit trying to be funny, you know, a lot of mean stuff.
Yeah.
Like one of the most like rude things I did in high school. I remember one of my friends in high school, she would wear skirts all the time. And I taped a mirror to my shoe because when I would give her a hug, everyone could see up her dress. And that was very funny, but also got me suspended. But the janitor got himself a beef sandwich for the morning, for the breakfast. But you know,
hashtag me too.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. When I was a young man. I would use
Cheeto Santino.
Cheeto Santino. Yeah. I constantly just took funny shots that sometimes didn't end up being funny.
Right. Yeah. And when did stand up start, and how did that go?
Mm-hmm. In college.
Where'd you go to college?
Arizona State University, yeah. Baby, Harvard of the desert. I think the acceptance rate says all online. I think if you could, it says who could get
not
in
more now. It's a selective school.
It is. No, yeah. It's gotten good. When I was there, they called me and we're like, we're looking for more people to get in here.
From Chicago? Were you
yeah,
in Arizona?
Yeah. I moved to Arizona.
Wow.
I went there, and in college I did a little bit of theater, which I hated. I didn't want to do it, but there was this teacher that was like, you have to do it. You're very good. You don't know that you're talented yet. You should do it.
Wow.
And I just was like, I want to do comedy. I'm going to go do comedy in California. That was like my goal. Back then there wasn't a lot of stand up. You could do a few open mic things in Arizona. Yeah. Now there's like 30 clubs.
Yeah.
Back then wasn't much. So I was kind of biding my time. So I knew I wanted to become a stand up for, I don't know, since I was like 12.
And then you came out here?
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And then I worked tirelessly for 13 years and now I'm here with you.
Are you doing more acting too?
Acting started like 7 or 8 years ago, and that was kind of just a natural progression. I didn't really know if I wanted to get into it, but
you're good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you should do it.
Well, I am doing it.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm doing a show with FX that's going to come out later this year. But I'm always hesitant to jump back into a project in case it sucks. You know, it's hard. I don't want to suck.
You got to keep throwing shit at the wall, right?
Yeah.
Not everything's great.
But some people throw too much shit.
That's true.
Yeah, so you got to be selective about...
But doing nothing is not enough shit.
True, but I do... Every year I do it, like at least one thing. Mm. You know, I try to do like one or get involved in a project or go out for something that I really think is worth it. It's just because stand-up is so beautiful that I'm like... It's the only thing I originally ever cared about.
Do you love it still?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
More than anything in the world.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I still don't know what'll feel better than doing stand-up.
Is there times at which it gets... Too much, like
yeah. I mean, it sucks a lot. I mean, it's like anything else, you know. I mean, I'm sure LeBron has a bad day, you know. Yeah. But and I'm the LeBron of comedy, for the record, by the way. I want to put that out there.
That goes without saying.
Just comedic freak, you know.
Well, the analogy was obvious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I do have. There's days where I'm like, fuck this, I want to quit. There's times where I'm on the road sitting in the hotel, sad that I'm like, this isn't worth it. There's shows that don't go that way. I mean, all those things. But we're so weathered as comedians in terms of like we've dealt with that before. The beauty of being a comedian is like the whole front half of your career is dog shit. So you're like, when minor shit happens as you get more successful, you're like, this is nothing, man.
Right. You've been through it.
Yeah. I passed out on a table in Winnemucca because I did whippets with a guy that got into a fist fight. And, you know, it's like, I've had some bad nights.
Winnemucca, Nevada.
For
the reference.
How have you been there? How do you know that place?
I drove across the country when I left college. And I was trying to get to San Francisco and ran out of steam in
Winnemucca,
camped and ended up camping where we had camped was literally on the runway for the little airport there. So planes, like we woke up, it was crazy.
Well, who'd you go with?
Just like a roommate from college. We just drive across.
That, everyone does that in college. I drove from Michigan to Arizona. This girl picked me up and I did that thing. It's cool. But halfway through, you're like, fuck, I wish I flew.
Yeah, no, the 12-hour day driving and stuff and through the corn in the middle. It's like,
A lot of corn. We like corn. Turns out we like corn. You go to the Midwest, you're like, fuck, did we eat this much corn?
Cows eat a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
All right, you like fucked up shit?
I love fucked up
shit.
We got
fucked up shit.
Let's get it,
dude. Let's help this man out. What do you got?
So,
feed me.
I mean, this isn't super fucked up, but, you know, we've been getting into this guy on YMH called Big Time Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives really unique advice. And I just want to know if you guys have heard this advice before or if it just, you know, if it's like old school type of advice.
Okay.
How you doing, Instagram? It's Big Time Tommy. And here's my thought of the day. Be strong, because things get better. It may be stormy now, but it doesn't rain forever. That's the old school way. Never, ever give up.
Is he in the
Big Time Tommy from the shower. Take it easy.
Smoking a cigar in the shower.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things happen. I mean, first of all, didn't need to go in the shower. Could have just done that from his room.
Anywhere.
I don't think the shower intensifies the idea of when it rains, it pours.
No.
No.
And the cigar is...
not even lit.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross. That's one of those old, like, it looks like a cartoon cigar. You know when somebody puts a bomb in it and it explodes up?
Yes, like a Bugs Bunny cigar.
And he's still smoking it. He looks like a guy from a Bugs Bunny cartoon for sure.
He does.
Big Time Tommy.
He's like one of the criminals.
Yeah, he's one of the bad guys. Yes. He's either a Dick Tracy character or...
Flat Top. He's a little bit of Flat Top. Mixed with... They did a little Mice and Men thing in Warner Brothers.
Yes. And
he's the big guy.
He is the big guy. That's right. You know the funniest thing about this? I think we're making fun of this guy. And little do we know, those are prescription glasses that he's got in the shower.
And no doubt.
He actually needs to be in the shower 23 hours a day to help his skin condition. We're just being mean to a man who has a medical condition. Here he goes.
How you doing, Instagram? It's Big Time Tommy. Here's my thought of the day. Live the best life you can. Haters will hate always. That's what they do. They hate. But you know what? They hate themselves. Live your life and fuck all the haters. That's the old school way. Take it easy. OS for life.
Always smoking a cigar.
I got some advice for him. Sunscreen, Tommy.
Oh,
sunscreen
would Tommy's help. Been got a little, yes, a little bit of sunburn. But where is Tommy? Is he in Sherman Oaks or Staten Island?
This is for sure New Jersey. There's no doubt in my mind that this is
Do we have info?
That sounds about right. This guy's actually from some TLC show about repoing cars or something.
So definitely fucking New Jersey.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind there's a Jersey show. Yeah. Yeah. Tommy smokes cigars and everyone to let you know that he doesn't care about the haters or his health. It's my favorite thing in the world. Come on, Tom.
How you doing, Instagram? It's Big Time Tommy. Here's my thought of the day. Life always offers you a second chance. It's called tomorrow. If you guys don't succeed today, then tomorrow, you got another shot at it. Give it everything you got and don't ever quit. Ever. That's the old school way. Make America old school again. Take it easy. OS for life.
What's the OS?
What is OS?
Old school.
Old school for life.
Keep it OS.
I might suggest he give up.
Yeah, I would give up. Yeah, I would just mail it in at this point.
Yeah, I think never giving up is not the right idea for old Big Time Tommy.
It would be really good if, he could give up a lot of things, high saturated fats.
Just a couple of calories.
It would be really nice to hear like off camera him do his real voice, Big Time Tommy, and then they pan away. He's like, does that sound good? Is the character still believable?
He's got more. My God.
How you doing, Instagram? It's Big Time Tommy.
Fucking
God. Here's my thought of the day. The comeback is always stronger than this setback. Don't ever let nobody get you down. You get knocked down, you get back up. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do something. Positive thoughts bring positive things. Just when you think that you've fallen, you get back up and you fight stronger.
In the shower again?
That's all it is.
Love showers.
Bringing it back to the old school mentality.
OS for life.
Old school. Again,
love that.
This guy's preoccupation with getting knocked down.
Yeah,
he must have had the crap kicked out.
Yeah, his whole life. His whole life.
That's all he can think about is getting up again after being knocked down.
Gotta get up. You got to tell me, there's got to be some kind of psychological backing. I just died.
Yes.
There's got to be something where when people kind of continue to do that when they're like, when they keep saying like, fuck the haters. Something is going wrong. Like something's tragagically wrong.
Yes.
To continue to do that over and over and over.
You're ashamed. You're guilty or something's wrong where you feel bad about yourself. Oh, what are we going to get here?
No, I'm just looking for something for you guys. That's all right. Keep talking.
All right. Oh boy.
All right. Let me do some emails while he's looking.
Yeah. Let's do an email.
I have this weird thing. When I go to jerk off, I have to shit. Andrew, this is for you.
Wow.
My stomach starts to rumble. I always shit. The only thing I remember like this was going to the toy store as a kid. I had to shit. What is causing my bowel movement in regard to my routine of masturbation? This is, some people when they get kind of excited, it puts a little mass movement through the colon.
Well, when I get anxious, I have to take a shit sometimes.
Sometimes,
but I never get anxious when I'm going to jerk off.
It's the same thing. I wonder if he used to combine his bathroom activities with his masturbation when he was a kid,
jerked off on the toilet.
So maybe there was a little bit of a.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Pavlovian thing.
Well, the Pavlovian thing is interesting because when I first started jerking off, Beverly Hills Cop was a very popular movie, and the Glenn Frey song, The Heat Is On, The Heat Is On.
So every time that would come on?
I would get a hard on.
Oh.
If you play it now, I'll come all over this desk.
Oh, Jesus, please don't play that song. But look, here's Big Time Tommy.
Big Time Tommy.
How you guys doing? It's Big Time Tommy. Remember, if you fall down, you always got to get back up.
That's it?
That's the old school way. OS. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Oh, that just freaked me out a little bit.
I like that. I like that a lot. I like that Tom gave him a little shout-out.
Give Andrew some fucked up shit, though. Come on now.
Yeah, give me something real fucked up.
What do you mean? That's what I had prepped, man.
No, I want some fucked up shit, though. You know.
All right. Actually, okay. Why don't you guys do another email?
Yeah. Recently, I was having sex with a lady, and she brought my attention to something I had not been noticing for my 7 or so years of busting nuts. The way our listeners use language is really quite extraordinary.
Busting nuts.
I had not been noticing for my 7 or so years of busting nuts. When I unloaded a clip, my leg cramps up and twitches a lot.
Oh.
Unloading a clip, busting a nut, same thing?
Same thing. They call it throwing a rope.
Now, I never minded it or thought it was odd, and none of my previous partners have cared. This dumb broad was fairly freaked out by it and asked if I was having a stroke. Should I call her out for shaming me? It's interesting to me, Nadav, how many... emailers we have from the UK. It's freaking me out about what's going on in England.
Is this that's not Big Time Tommy? Are we sure that's not Big
Adam
Time Tommy?
From Oxford, UK. Oh. He's so here's the deal. There's a lot of people that when they have a climax have to clamp their legs down. A lot of people do that.
What do you mean?
They flex their muscles in their legs.
Ah.
So a lot of people have that sort of.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just know that people do that.
Huh.
And I don't know if it's something in a habit they develop when they're younger or whatever it is. They just seem to need that sort of tension in their pelvis and their legs to be able to climax. And if they do, of course, there would be some shaking of the legs and some
also
some,
he should just drink more water. Perhaps that could be the.
It's not a full cramp. It's just they just sort of extend it, just like you would, you know, make a muscle or anything.
Huh.
And now back to the show. What's going on here?
World star.
World star hip hop.
Wait. Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Getting her asshole tattooed.
Ooh, ding, ding, ding.
Thank you so much.
What, the question is what? What are you going to put on your asshole?
What would I put personally?
Yeah, you.
I would say insert here or...
So instructions.
How about a one-way street? I would say put a one-way street sign, but the arrow points into my butthole.
Oh, yeah. Just a street sign one way?
Yeah, the one-way arrow into my asshole. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of some way with that we could do with your red hair and sort of create a character.
Oh, that's really good.
Like I would Santa Claus. Put maybe, a Santa Claus. Look for Santa Claus's mouth right there.
That would be good. Yeah. Or like a Ronald McDonald.
There you
one
go.
Of his
Ronald
eyes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Let's see what we got here.
Getting her butthole tattooed.
Oh boy, fun.
Watch your mouth.
Oh,
sorry.
Watch your mouth.
Fucking assholes. Oh, fucking assholes.
Bite your jacket.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. Fuck rapers.
You're saying fuck me with that over getting an asshole tattoo.
So far, this seems like a pretty natural reaction, right, Drew?
Yeah, I just like the fact that the cameraman is laughing so hard he can't keep the picture straight.
Now, these people are from, like, Yale? Is this a Yale College submission
Yale
video?
Group. Yeah, I suspect. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Williams, maybe.
I love that the girl's like, she's like, oh, come on, bite your purse. Like she, you can't take the pain of a needle puncturing your asshole. Like, it's such a common thing for people to have.
All right, so where does this go? This goes somewhere else?
So far, her reaction has seemed normal, right?
Like, I wouldn't say normal, but appropriate to the circumstance.
So tell me if this reaction becomes more normal or less normal.
Great.
I love the way Nadav frames questions.
Hold my hand. Squeeze it.
I farted in his face.
Lovely.
More normal.
You can't move.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, baby. Oh, fuck yeah, baby. Oh, fuck me. Fuck me hard. Fuck me hard. And that's all. What?
Okay,
pills.
I'm thinking that might be for the World Star Hip Hop audience.
You do you not think that she's on something to get her butthole tattooed?
Oh yeah.
What would you get? What's is this meth or crack? Nadav, does this say meth head gets asshole tattooed? Is that the name of the video?
I like how you're thinking.
No, just butthole tattoo.
Just butthole tattoo.
Show us more.
Yeah.
You're not enough porno.
I don't care. I can say whatever I want. I'm getting my asshole fucking raped. No.
Buy your jacket.
Oh fucking yeah.
Lisa, I'm a lady. Keep on.
Oh fuck yeah. Oh fuck yeah. Fuck yeah!
Wow.
Oh,
yeah!
Oh,
what the fuck you are?
Oh, fuck yeah! Yeah, baby! Fuck yeah!
I like how her friend is like discouraging. She's like, don't talk like that.
I know. You cut it out.
Cut it out. You're getting your butthole tattooed. Have some respect for the artist drawing on your anus.
Go back to farting on her. It was way better.
Please.
But I like the blown pupils, though. She has blown pupils, which is to your meth theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
This seems like meth.
It does seem like a meth.
It's a very meth thing to do.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, it keeps going.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, little.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. So, you know how they like try to warn you of why not to do drugs?
Yeah.
Just show this video to children.
You are a genius, Andrew.
This is the video.
I knew I was going to like you.
This is the video. Hey, kids, you think drugs sounds
think
cool?
Meth is cool?
Check
just
this out.
Just a little bit. She only does it once or twice a week.
Check this out. You'll get racist and you'll want a tattoo on your anus. Fuck, that's so gross and weird and strange to A, even think to do that. And then her friend is totally in support. She's like, let's go. Let's
I like
go do
it. The camera's got to be right in her face,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they don't want to give her distance.
And we don't know yet what is being tattooed on said anus, do we?
Nadav, please don't tell me that she poops on this tattoo artist.
No, I mean, maybe she does, but we'll never find out.
Okay. Is that the end of it?
I mean, there's a little bit more, but we never find out what.
Well, give us the whole thing.
We don't even see what the tattoo is.
We're proud of you for bringing
it. He's raping me. Ow!
Awesome. Ow! Awesome.
This is why you don't do drugs, people.
Oh. I need some weed.
Say no to dope.
I need some weed. I need a blunt.
All right, put that in your mouth, man.
Oh, how long is this going to take? I can't be quiet.
Bite on the thing.
My asshole.
Remember, you're on recording.
Hey, Mom, do you have any videos in your phone of when you and Aunt Sarah used to hang out? No. Why? Well, we found one. I mean, what a fucking... Look at how nuts... Look at how fucking insane this woman looks.
Well, someone's needling her tush, so...
Good God.
Finish it up for us, Nenov. Here we go.
Oh, my fucking... I need a break.
Poor thing. I feel bad for her.
I don't feel bad for this human. This is opting in. By the way,
yeah,
this tattoo artist, does he tell people about this?
Is it a he?
I think it's a dude, isn't
it?
I can't see. It's a dude, right?
Yeah. Did he warn her what to expect? Now, she's asking an appropriate question, how long? Because humans can tolerate more discomfort if they know how long they have to tolerate it for.
Really? It's all psychological, huh?
Yeah,
if you're like, 10 more minutes.
Then we can adjust better than if you were to say, I don't know.
Is that why when the pilot gets on and he's like, 10 more minutes, we'll be through this stuff. Yeah, you're like, all right, I can get through 10.
Yes.
That's smart.
More.
That girl's gross.
That's the end of this.
That's repulsive.
Oh, there's no more? No.
Repulsive.
Is there another... What's her name? Aunt Sarah?
Yeah, that's... Well, yeah, that's Aunt Sarah. Mom, Aunt Sarah.
I don't have Aunt Sarah, but I actually was curious about this. So it starts off that she's in pain, and then it starts feeling really good.
Good.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I don't think she was saying it was feeling good. I think she was trying to...
I mean, I could go back to the clip where it looked like she was...
I think she's covering up the idea of the pain by saying, oh, yeah, I like this.
Exactly.
I'm taking it in the ass.
Right. She's trying to make it something she's experienced where she did like it, and it was painful, but it was good.
This is her Tinder profile video. Yeah, throw this on there.
I think it would be.
Could land it a lot of
dates.
I think
this is a video you ought to take with you on the road so you can use it as part of your act.
I mean, this is going to be instead of one of those opening videos like at the improv when they're like, you know... 2-drink minimum, no cameras. I'm going to play that at the beginning.
Oh, it'll be a big hit. I 26-year-old male, just because it's important. I'm generally pretty happy. I have a good job, good salary, good friends, good girlfriend. Nothing wrong with my life. However, every now and then, I get into weird bouts of very deep depression. They only last a few hours, and I sort of think about suicide, not in the way that I want to kill myself or die, but I do think a lot about how nice it would be not to be alive. This is interesting.
That just sounds like every person.
Well, but to have fluctuating moods is every person, but to really get to the point where you start to think about suicide, that's unusual.
Well, he said no, right? I think he said I don't think about suicide.
No. He goes, I have weird bouts. I think about suicide, not in the way that I want to kill myself, but I think about how nice it would be not to be alive.
Well, that's the same thing.
It's passive suicidality, it's called. And it's pretty serious. It makes me wonder if he has a rapid cycling bipolar thing going on.
Is that what bipolar is?
You can it's usually the marked by the manias, right? Or hypomanias.
Hypomania.
But there's but periods of depression usually go in between. And this sudden drops into, it makes me also worry about a medical problem. So I would actually get this guy. You'd be amazed how often psychiatric symptoms are presenting symptoms of an underlying medical issue.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Very common.
Like, can I give you something and you tell me to fix me and you can fix me?
What, I don't fix you, but I can think about
fix
what medical
me. Drew,
things.
Fix me.
Okay, go.
I grind my teeth often, yeah. Nighttime, sometimes during the day.
Yeah.
Like I've worn down some of the inside.
Do you wear plates?
No, but my dentist said I'm supposed to.
That's what you're supposed to do. But you're going to fuck your jaw pretty. You know, you blow out the jaw pretty easily if you're not careful.
Really?
Yeah.
Why have I done that? Why do I grind my teeth?
Probably some people just do it it's part of the sleep cycle. That's part of their biology. But sometimes when there's a lot of stress and anxiety growing up, we'll do that. So you have that stuff with the drug addict dad, I bet.
That could be it. What about stress and anxiety in my life that gets transferred at night? That's why I grind.
It gets worse. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. That's good to know.
I mean, that'll make it worse.
Will my teeth just start to fall out at some point?
Your jaw will probably give out first.
Huh.
You can crack your teeth. That happens too.
You
might want to be one of these crazy. Are you one of those crazy grinders where it sounds horrible? Like people complain that
people can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the sound is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would get a bite plate.
Anyway,
I would worry about a medical problem for this young man. Let's get a voice message.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Drew. My dick, when I'm erect, hugs my stomach. Like it curves all the way up and like hugs my stomach. Like there's not just like a random curve. Like it literally starts at the base and it's just like is close to my stomach. And I've noticed in like porn that looks like regular dicks are just like hard and straight out like a missile. Is my dick fucked up? Did I jerk off too much or something?
No.
And like pull it too close to me?
No.
Or am I normal and there's a lot of people with curved dicks?
It's not even the curve, because curve you worry across the sweep of the penis. This is the suspensory ligament has him pulled up tight.
But also, who jerks off this way towards
I know,
them?
That
would be a weird way to always. Do I jerk off to?
Yeah, but he loved his penis so much, he wanted to bring it close.
Yeah, he hugged it.
Well, that's right.
I saw a commercial just today, seriously, for men who have curvature in their penis, and they say it's
Peyronie's disease.
Peyronie, right? And they're trying to fix it.
It's an operation.
But why? What's wrong
with
a curved dick?
There's some curves that are okay, and a little curve is normal. But if it can progress, and it happens kind of quickly too with Peyronie's, and it can be very painful for the partners.
I'm sorry, Peyronie's just sounds like a good Italian place on the west side.
It's in Cacacas.
Kakamo.
Kakamo.
Come to Peyronie's and Kakamo. You get either a dick bent and you get an Italian salmon. I think that's so. I think that's weird that people like I have a straight dick.
Plumb line.
It's honestly, I measure stuff when I'm putting up stuff at the house.
Of course, yeah.
But I have a few buddies that have shown me their crooked penis.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. If you have good enough friends, you always show them your cock.
Of course.
And I never thought anything. I didn't think it was an issue, but now I feel like people talk about it now like it's a bad thing.
Well, it's not a bad thing. It can cause pain with erection and pain with intercourse.
Oh, wow.
But the partner's complaints, particularly downward curve, is the most painful.
But upward curve is a good thing, right?
Equi curve is pretty useful, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
But side and down to people sometimes, and it progress. It can get quite intense.
You can have a hook dick.
You can have that hockey pace.
You got to fuck them from the side.
You accommodate.
Yeah,
you work with what you got.
I mean, you just got to figure it out.
Yeah, it's just geometry.
Listen, I work with everything that I've got. I'm not driving a fucking yacht. You know, I got a little dinghy, but it's, you know, whatever. It still floats.
We make it work.
Yeah.
Another voice message.
Hi, Dr. Drew. My name is Blake, and I'm a 27-year-old man. As long as I've been sexually active, I'd never been able to come.
Ooh.
Just like Josh Potter.
Oh.
Except.
Damn.
Very recently, I'm coming too quick. It only takes about five minutes for me to start sheet sneezing when I masturbate, I don't know why. I recently stopped eating sugar, so I don't know.
Well, ejaculation delay, or what the British call retarded ejaculation, they call it that, delayed ejaculation, is a common thing. Josh has it. And
Josh still can't come, Josh?
No, we got somebody set up for him.
Yeah, we got to get him to come.
It'll be no problem.
But this guy said he...
And then
stopped eating sugar and now he can?
I wonder if he lost a bunch of weight. Maybe his testosterone level adjusted with the no sugar. And now he's ejaculating too quickly.
Huh.
But it's sort of, he is having sexual dysfunction generally, right?
It's right.
And so it makes me wonder what else is going on here. Why we need more information.
Because so much of that is psychological, right? Not coming is psychological. Is it always physical?
It's not always physical. There's always both. There's, like everything with humans, it's always both.
Well, why for the majority of my life, I could never come from a blowjob. It was, I just couldn't. Yeah. Couldn't do it. I mean, it's happened a few times for sure.
Yeah.
But blowjobs in my mind were always foreplay to sex.
Yeah.
So I locked that in at such a young age. Yeah,
but now you're locked in, but you'd be really preferred sex. You like sex. You look forward to it.
So
you,
much.
You wanted to get to that, so you wouldn't let yourself do it.
No. Yeah. So whenever I get my dick sucked, it's just like, I feel bad because I'm like, you're not gonna be able to get them out there.
No pay dirt.
You're not gonna be able to get them out. Promise.
It's all right.
But that's in my head, isn't it?
I think that's in your head. I don't know many women who like wish to be swallowing semen.
No.
There
aren't
many.
There's a few.
There are a few, but there aren't many.
And they're kept in a basement somewhere
and fed
and brushed.
By you?
Drew,
sort of scare
Drew,
me.
No,
Andrew,
no,
sort of
no,
scare me a
no.
little today.
I do have a condo in Sunland that I keep a harem of young.
You mentioned Sunland more than once. So, you got any more fucked up shit for Andrew? I know you came up with a good one there. I really commend you for that.
Oh, yeah. That was
the
really
butthole
great.
Tattoo
yeah.
was
actually,
prime
a,
time.
I have another voicemail that I actually would love for you to
hear. Okay.
Yeah, I like voicemails.
Hey, Dr. Drew. So, I'm a fan of your Mom's House podcast, as well as now your show, Dr. Drew After Dark. And the latest episode of your Mom's House podcast, they decided to do a competition. Like, who can make Josh Potter come? And, like, for, like, a good half hour, I was really considering, like, entering this competition. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, why would I think that was a good idea?
Right.
Like, do you think this winner will really feel, like, proud of themselves?
Right.
I don't think they'll actually make Josh come. Like, but, like, why? What about, like, me thought that'd be a good idea?
Well, it's just like, she reminds me of people that choose not to have children. They're the very people we wish would have children.
Right.
So we wish she would, she's exactly the right person to be in this contest.
But also,
she's thoughtful, she's deliberative, she's open emotionally.
Right.
And she wants to make Josh come.
But she should make, for the record, by the way, as she was saying, why was I considering? You're considering it because you're doing a lot of levels of things. It's a humanitarian thing. You're helping out the good of the people, right? You also are supporting the show that you love. They love YMH.
Well,
they love your show.
But it does make me think about something interesting about YMH and the entire discipline we have going here.
Is that you've convinced fans to make the crew come?
It's not just that. There's a collective kind of a hypnosis that goes on with YMH.
Oh, for sure.
Where they look at things that are horribly tragic and laugh.
Yeah.
And they start to believe Christina's point of view on certain things that they should not be thinking about, even let alone be contemplating taking her point of view. And I think this just, people get caught up in it, and this is just part of what they get caught up in.
Well, you know what cults are.
It's a collective delusion. Yeah.
You know what cults are.
That's
this is a cult.
This is it.
This is a cult.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
that's
a cult leader.
You got right to the point, Andrew. Culty. I appreciate that. Speaking of which, let's look at another video.
Look at this.
Oh my God.
Yo, this nasty motherfucker. What? Fuck you. Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
What the
hell? Wow. Play that again. I played it again.
I got it. I don't believe what I saw.
She just...
What? Look at this.
She's just squatting and peeing in a liquor store.
You nasty motherfucker. What?
She's going to explain herself. She's going to explain herself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I like
Christ.
The way she plays with
you
her hair.
You think I'm cute? You think I'm cute? I piss on the floor. You think I'm cute?
Yo.
That's insane.
What the fuck? This motherfucker just peed here.
Oh, he's going more. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, now she's cleaning?
I need more information.
Nah, this motherfucker's bugging.
I need to know what's going on.
Oh my
God.
Oh! He's nasty.
Why?
Oh, this motherfucker's
nasty.
Oh
my God.
Oh,
what the
throw
fuck?
Up. Oh my God, yo.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Is she
talking? That's the fuck she did.
And then she's squeezing out her paper towel so the urine goes back on the floor.
Yes, the fuck she did. This motherfucker's nasty.
Please tell me there's more. This is one of the greatest human mysteries I've ever come upon.
She pissed on the floor and thought she was cute. She kept looking back like it was a cute thing to do. Yeah. She's actually kind of attractive. That's the weirdest part of all this fucking
thing. Yeah, I know.
You know what that just made me realize, too? That women don't have to shake. That's got to be so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're done pissing, they just strap up and move on.
Just finished. It's all done. Oh, where'd you go? What happened?
Was that the end of the video? War?
Yeah, that was the end of the
video. Oh, shit.
Well, now you must find her.
No, well, I'm looking for another thing for you guys now.
No, no, no. That's more important than the tried out guy.
Who is that girl?
You must find this woman and find out what that was. That's a mystery. Like, why would she have done that?
Josh, I think we found who's going to make you come.
I mean,
he almost puked.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe we went off it as quickly as
maybe that. Well, keep going. Maybe that's the zone he needs to get into to kind of loosen him up.
Maybe to get that jizz out, we got to get you fucking puke. Yeah, he's coughing.
He's going to die. This is the collective delusion I'm talking about that happens in this room.
But it's kind of it's beautiful, though.
Is it?
Yeah, because these are people. These people exist. Yeah, we can't pretend this doesn't exist.
No, people are too much. I agree. But I like explaining stuff. That one was a mystery to me.
Yeah, I can't.
Everything about it was anomalous. Oh, here we go.
Dude, seriously, do you need to be doing this? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh my God.
Hello? What are you doing?
Go away, lady.
Yes, go away.
What are you doing? There's little kids around here.
What is he doing?
He's fucking himself with a bike part, it looks like. It looks like he's putting a bike part in his asshole.
He also has no leg.
Yeah. Well, then he should be able to do that.
That, guys, is math.
But amputees do deserve to be able to put stuff in their ass. I love that he goes, go away, lady.
I like he's got the red shirt over the head, shirt over his head.
Yeah, he's a little embarrassed.
If he doesn't see other people looking at him, he can go proceed.
I like how he has a little bit of embarrassment to be seen in public, but not to just have his asshole plunged by a bike part on the sidewalk. I don't want anybody to see me, but I'm going to do it in the wide open. This is the kid theory when a kid is like, you can't see me because they close their eyes.
Now, Nadav, do you remember last episode or a couple episodes ago when I did talk to Seth Green and I talked about the housing hoax? Yes. My city wants me to believe that that's a housing problem.
That's right.
The guy's just a little down on his luck and the rent's too high in the La Brea area.
Just can't have. Yeah.
And that's what makes me pissed. This is mostly what we, you know, this oh, yeah. is, I mean, give this me a break.
I don't know if you'll be able to, you can't, I don't know if you're how good you are at finding stuff. On my Twitter, it got retweeted, it was over a year and a half ago. I have video of a guy jerking off on Hollywood Boulevard.
Of course.
Forever ago. But
it's just because he's a little down on his luck.
He's just having a bummer month. The checks didn't clear. Yeah,
that's the hoax that's got to stop.
God, putting stuff in his ass on the sidewalk, though.
It was pretty intense.
I mean, I've seen a bum jerk off multiple times.
Multiple
times. I've seen so many bums jerking off. Or pooping.
Pooping is a common one these days. But you're not a female. Women.
Go away, lady.
You're not a female. women have that directed at them.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's the most gross part. They walk and they do it. I saw a guy walking and jerking off and a woman was running away. Walking and jerking off.
I like the running away part. It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Voice message. Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Trey from Louisiana. So I'm wondering, my girlfriend's gluten-free, and sometimes when I eat a lot of carbs in a day, if she swallows my nut, a lot of times she said it messes with her stomach. So what I'm wondering, is the gluten transfer to semen? I don't know, man. She swallowed my nut tonight, and she kind of got mad at me because she made her throw up. I don't know if that's just semen in general, because I think I might throw up. I swallowed some semen. Thanks, man. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy. I think the last part of your logic was the right logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got your nasty jizz in her mouth.
Yeah, and that's what's upsetting her stomach. And ask her to transfer it, not swallow it. Maybe put it in something else.
Take it back. Let her give it to you.
No.
Open your mouth and let her give it back to you.
All right. We're going down.
There's no gluten transfer, right? That shouldn't be real.
But there are things that get concentrated in the semen, like opiates and meth and things can concentrate.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So you can transfer drugs from your dick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So if somebody's like, I want to do heroin, but I'm afraid of needles, it's like, well.
It's another superpower for you.
You got to suck my cock. And
well, actually, it's meth's the one that I think really gets concentrated. I mean, I think, I'm not sure the opiates get concentrated there, but meth is like 7 times more concentrated than the blood, if I remember right.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. But
you know. Meth jizz. You got that special meth jizz, baby.
Yeah.
That's insane.
One more. I'm not done yet.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew? My name is Will. I'm a 26-year-old male. I actively compete in combat sports,
And there's an old adage at all the gyms I train at that the more you come, the more you put out the fire or lower your testosterone, I guess. So I got my test levels done, not for any particular reason, just wanted to know what they were. It came out to about 1,100 or 1,200, which I'm told is relatively high, yeah. despite the fact I come about three times a day.
Oh,
every other day, I'll normally have sex with my longtime girlfriend. Even on those days, I still four-stroke at about two more times or so.
Imagine if you
did
meth.
I guess my question where it's my levels are high and that makes me produce that kind of volume.
Yes.
Or is my are my levels in spite of the fact that I come so right. many times and four stroke it so often? Keep okay. your mind tight. Thanks for the show.
All right.
Bye.
So it's the mostly the fact that the levels are so high. That's why you're producing all this fluid and stuff. But you're right that there's sort of a U or a inverted U shape to testosterone and masturbation and sexual activity. So if you don't have any sexual activity, your levels tend to drop. And if you have sort of optimum levels, whatever that is, again, hard to say, they peak. And if you go too much, they tend to fall down the other side. So he's right about that. But I think the reason he's doing it so much, I mean, he might be able to get higher levels if he cut back a little bit.
Three times a day, though?
Crazy, right?
Is he just boasting in front of Josh? He just knows Josh is listening. He's like, dude, I come 40 times a day.
So I think that was an attack on Josh. Here's another testosterone level. I'm 36, parent of two kids. Work full time. I have low energy, low sex drive, irritability. Tested for my testosterone. It was 222, which is lowish. What can I do to get it back to where I was in my 20s? Get your weight down, heavy weights, weight resistance, and more sexual activity. And one of the things, the reason I read this email is that a lot of guys go, oh, I have low testosterone. I need to take a supplement. If you're a young, healthy male and you have low testosterone, that needs to be explained. Right. It's like saying, I have a fever. Now I know what I have. No, the low testosterone is a symptom of something else. And the question is, what? Is it that you're obese and you're metabolically off and driving the testosterone down? Do you have some underlying endocrine failure going on? But you don't just assume, oh, now that I know what the problem is, it's low testosterone. It doesn't happen to young, healthy males for the most part, unless you've ruled everything else out.
Can you reverse shitty testosterone levels?
You can supplement it.
You can.
Yeah. But you can also reverse it
if a guy is heavy, overweight,
yeah.
and he loses a bunch of weight, his T levels can go up again?
Yeah, especially if he's doing resistance training.
Wow, that's really fucking impressive.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
So we'll leave on that positive note. It's been a survey. I've laughed, I've cried, I've had
this
a good time.
This is wonderful,
this
man.
It's fun, right?
I can do this again and again and again.
Well, come back and do it again.
I'd love
because
to.
As soon as Nadav stores up some fucked up shit, I want him to share it with you. So I've never quite seen anybody enjoy it quite as much as you, so I like seeing
love
you
it.
Enjoy it. Yeah, I get that you enjoy it. And good to see you, man.
Great to see you.
Good to spend time with you. And
yeah,
congratulations on everything. And
yeah.
Is anything we should plug in terms of stand-up coming around? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be going to Kentucky. I'll be in Comedy at Broadway in Louisville, Kentucky.
Can we find everything on the...
Just go to AndrewSantito.com to see all my dates okay. and all that stuff.
That's
and I'll be on the road, baby.
And go to DrDrew.com for the Dr. Drew podcast, Adam and Drew podcast, Midday Live, the AM790 show I do on radio, and This Life and all of the stuff there at DrDrew.com. Please check it out there. And thank you, and we'll see you next
time.
Thank
you.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.